Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. We turn away from everything, every disturbance. We look only to you now. Lord, where our hearts are settled, our minds are at ease. We are a steadfast, immovable people because we live and rule in his divine determination, our Lord's. And Lord, we're determined to face 2015, all of its obstacles, all that we're facing. Lord, we're going to face it, and we're going to be undefeated because of you, because of your great grace and your great mercy and your wonderful goodness and all the fruits of the Spirit that live in us. Lord, this work that this morning for every heart to be open to receive your word, those in the listening live, the overflow areas and so forth, but also, Lord, for the new kids church that right now maybe those little ones are still sleeping or maybe their parents are saying they're not going to let them go. I don't know. But whatever it is, let nothing stop them. Let nothing stop them from entering that building and let nothing stop them from being saved today, Lord, if they're not saved. Help each and every person who's laboring today in that area. Fill us, O Lord, with your perfect wisdom and your perfect strength to do your perfect will. Now, Lord, bless today. Bless the word. Strengthen me to teach it now. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Genesis this morning. We opened last Sunday. We're in Genesis chapter 6. We opened last Sunday with our New Year's message and that we're moving into 2015 and we're facing it with his divine determination. Our Savior, something, we possess his divine determination. Remember the scripture last week from Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 51, that says, it came to pass when the time for our Lord to be received up to heaven after his death there. It says that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. The NIV version says that he was resolute. The New American Standard Version says that he was determined. That's the divine determination to go and die for our sins and the sins of the world. And so this morning, you know, if you're visiting with us, I just welcome you to a church that we've received a word into our heart for this year and forevermore that we're going to walk in his divine determination because we have set our faces just like our Lord toward this year. And we are steadfast, we are resolute. And the reason that we can walk in his divine determination is because he lives in our hearts. Amen. We have all the things that he has given unto us. And so we're determined to do that. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:27, it says, Christ in us, Christ in me, the hope of glory. To be in Christ means to have everything that he is, the fullness of the Lord living in our hearts. We now have his love. We have his strength. We have his power. We have his goodness all residing in our hearts. But we also have his divine determination that is living in our hearts as well. And the reason we can testify to that is because we are partakers of the divine nature. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Peter, remember, it says, and God has given unto us, that's past, it's a fact, God has given unto us all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So all things include not just the fruit of the Spirit, not just the victory that Christ purchased for us, not just victory over sin, death, the devil, and all of it, but we have living in our hearts right now our Savior's divine determination. He lives in us, the determined one. Remember from last week that determination says this, that I will not allow anyone or anything or any circumstance stop me in 2015 and the rest of my life. I'll not allow it because I have the promises of God and I have the nature of God living in me. We're not going to be a defeated people. And even if we suffer a defeat, like Paul said, we may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Amen. No one is going to knock you out if you are in Christ. He's going to keep you. Now, with all that being said, as we're in Genesis 6 right now, and then we'll move into the New Testament in a moment. This morning, I want to talk to you about one man. I want to talk to you about him because, to me, He is the most determined man in the entire history of mankind. Besides that, of course, of our Savior. So let's begin this morning. Let's just go to verse 1 of chapter 6 in Genesis. It says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born to them. And that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took," that word took means to take by force. I would use the word ravished or rape, okay? The sons of God, these, whatever they were. They weren't angels. They weren't God's angels in heaven, okay? And it says, they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, because of this, he said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. And he put a time limit on a judgment that was coming. He says it'll be 120 years. And there were giants, or the word is Nephilim there, in the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. And they were mighty men, men of old, men of renown. Now, let's begin our text in verse 5. And then it says that the Lord saw something. He saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. And the intent of the thoughts of his heart, talking about mankind, was only evil. How long? Continually. That means every moment of the day, the entire earth was consumed with one thing and one thought, and that was an evil heart and an evil disposition. Listen, Noah, this man, Noah, lived in a world that was horrible. Out of all the people on earth in that time, and for me is forevermore, there was only one person right on the earth. There was only one person that was determined to believe God. And this man lived in a world, listen now, that was totally and completely determined to live for only one thing, and that is sin, that is darkness. And the Lord saw those things, and he said, look at the heart of man. Their heart is totally and completely consumed. Not some thinking, not some thoughts, but every thought. Can you imagine living in a world where everyone on earth, every person on earth is determined to live like that? And you're the only person that believes in God. You're the only person that has faith in God. And that's what Noah was like. It says, and the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth. You know the story. He was grieved in his heart. You remember and grieved is a love word. See, when you grieve for somebody, it means you love them. Amen. So God says, oh, I was sorrowful. I grieved. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping things, birds of the air. For I am sorry or sorrowful that I made them. But Noah found what? Grace. That's the first mention of grace in the Bible, by the way. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we have that genealogy here. It says that Noah was a just man, and look at this now, perfect in his generations. That means that all the generations of everyone on earth, for some reason, and I don't have time to teach verses 1-4 to explain that, something happened. Something corrupted the seed line. Something corrupted every person on earth. The horrible things that were happening at that time. The only perfect seed line that was not contaminated was Noah. That's why it says he was perfect in his generations and he walked with God. Also, it says the earth was corrupt, perverted before God, and the earth was filled with lawlessness or violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed, it was corrupt. The reason? All flesh, every person on the planet, had corrupted their way on the earth. But Noah found grace. I am so thankful that God's grace is available even in the darkest periods of history. Amen? He's there. So, what was God's answer for this wicked time that Noah lived in? It was a man. It was a man that had faith. It was a man that believed God. It was a determined man, not a double-minded man, but a determined man. And so God shared the divine decision with Noah. Look at verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh, not some flesh, but all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence. And look how and where it came from. Through them, through the people of earth. Behold, I'm going to destroy, or I will destroy them with the earth. Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and outside with pitch. You know the story. Now, before us, when he said make an ark, you know what God was saying? Make the first water vehicle ever on the planet. Can you imagine that? Produced by God, made by Noah. You understand? The purpose was to escape the judgment that God was going to send upon the entire planet. The material to be used, he said, I want you to use gopher wood. Remember the ark was what, about 150 yards long, four stories high, if I understand the text correctly. And I think, oh Lord, take that pitch, put the pitch inside, the pitch outside. You know, we get our word in Leviticus 17:11, the same word. It means to cover. It means atone, to atone for. And so he covered it inside and outside. He sealed it all together. You know the story. You know exactly what Noah did. But I want you to look at verse 22. After God gives him all the instructions on how to build it, what to do, he says, thus Noah what? Did. According to what? To all that God had commanded him, so he did. 120 years now from that, God is going to destroy every living thing. Now, how determined was Noah? He was so determined that he, number one, he never questioned God. Why is it that we question God? He never questioned God. Not at all. You know, God promises, he's made all the promises, and all the promises belong to us. Amen? And why is it that we attack God and say, Lord, you know, you said you're going to provide all my need according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus, but you don't see my need. And God says, what? I know your need before you even ask. Noah didn't ask a thing. He didn't question God. Listen, for 120 years, what did Noah do? He acted on one command from God. He never wavered. Now listen, I don't know what you think about that, but I look at him and I say, this is the most determined man in all of mankind because he did what God said. And I think as when I taught through Genesis, I made this same comment. I think this is one of the greatest acts of faith found in the Bible. Noah went up, maybe the gopher wood trees or whatever, they were located up on the hill down the valley, I don't know. But he goes, and I don't know if he has an axe, I don't know how he removes the trees or cuts them down. But I'll tell you what, when he touched that first one, the ark wasn't built. And he said, I'm going to build an ark, and there's the material. And when he cut down that tree, I believe that was one of the greatest acts of faith in the Bible. And I say, oh God, for us to be like that, for us to be determined to say, Lord, here it is. We have your word. You cannot lie. We can be a determined people that move and say, Lord, I'm stepping out. And the Bible tells us that we're to walk as he walked. Amen? Okay. It tells us from Peter, remember the word example, that he has left us an example that we should follow in his footsteps. Remember the word example, only found there in the Bible, means to like trace, like you learned how to trace A, B, C when you were a little girl, little boy. And we're to look and say, Lord, there's the trace. There it is, your footstep. I'm going to put my foot right in it, and I'm going to do exactly what you've told me to do. You said that I need to be an imitator of God. I'm going to imitate you, Lord. And we can do that because we have his divine determination living in our hearts. So how did the most determined man in the history of the world, in my opinion, how did he do this? I want you to turn in the New Testament book of Hebrews and let's look at chapter 11. Chapter 11. But let's start in verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7. It says, by faith, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Noah, determined to do something. He was warned, divinely warned. That means God warned him, told him of the judgment, told him of the things, told him to build the ark of things not yet seen. Can you believe that? I mean, here he is, this determined man, determined faith. He said, okay, I am going to build an ark. I don't know what an ark is. I don't know what the means of the ark is for. And he says, you know, Lord, you warned me. You warned me of things not seen. You know, what things? Well, things that have never, ever happened on earth before. Things that have never been seen on earth before. Question. Does the Bible record that Noah knew what an ark was? No, he didn't know what. That was a new word. Ark, okay. In my vocabulary, this is an ark, okay? And he had never seen an ark. He didn't know what an ark was. Had Noah ever felt one drop of rain from heaven? No, there was a canopy over the earth, remember, in the old world before the flood, in the pre-flood days. There was a canopy, and it watered, it misted everything. He had never experienced a thunderstorm or a rain or a cold front or Texas weather. You know? No, it was perfect, man. So you look at that, and I say, oh, Lord. Had Noah ever seen a destructive flood ever in his life? No, but God says, Noah, this is what's going to happen. All these things that you have never seen before in your life. There's a new word there for you, a vocabulary, ark, flood. All these things are going to be happening. And so how did Noah see it and believe it? Faith. He looked into the unseen. See, you're sitting here going, I don't know how God's going to help me. Well, you need to look into the unseen because there's your provision. It's going to be in the supernatural, and then it gets to you in the natural. Amen? And we need to believe that with all of our heart. God is not going to let you down. He's not going to keep you down either. God is the lifter of your heads. And I say, oh, God, you're so good. Noah sees the unseen. He's also by faith, by determined faith, he sees into the future. And he sees what every person on the planet at that time cannot see, and he sees it in the eye of faith. A faithful woman, a faithful man is a determined woman and a determined man. Amen? That's so important that we grab a hold of that. Remember, determination says this: I will not allow anyone or anything, any circumstance, no matter what it is, to defeat me, to stop me, because I have the divine, wonderful promises of God, and God cannot lie. God didn't say you were not going to feel the pain. He didn't say that, you know, you're not going to have warfare. He said, no matter what you see in your life, no matter what the circumstances are, that we're commanded, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by what? And not by what we see out here. We don't see, no, Lord, I don't see anything but your promises and you. So Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared something that he had never prepared before. He had prepared something that had never been seen on earth before. He did so. He prepared an ark. That is that's determined faith. And he did it by faith. For 120 years. Noah lived in a time that was so wicked, every person was so consumed with sin that there was absolutely no hope left for the population of earth. And God said, the only thing I can do, the only remedy, is to destroy every living thing and so forth. And you say, well, Bill, why do you call Noah the most determined person ever to live in history? Well, I do so because of what his determined faith did for 120 years. Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and no person on the entire planet listens to you? Kind of like being a pastor, you know what I'm saying? You know I'm teasing you, okay? No. He preached, he warned the ungodly, and yet no one believed. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, it says, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So Noah was not only the only believer besides his family on the planet, but you know what? He was the only determined man on the planet that believed God, and he stood alone. Can you imagine everyone on the planet making fun of you? Think about that for a minute. You know, we fall apart today if someone doesn't shake our hand. You didn't send me a birthday card. You know, you don't like my kids. Well, I don't like them either, you know, but you understand? We fall apart. You looked at me funny, you know, or someone is corrected today in the church and say, no, you please don't do that. I'm out of here, man. I'll go find a church where I can do the same. Well, go do it, you little sissy. But I mean, think about it. Every person on the planet, everyone is against you. No one is for you. No one wants to be around you. You're just a crazy person. Judgment is coming. An ark. Look at you. You're wasting your life. What are you building? What's wrong with you? You've gone off the deep end. You know, the cheese has slid off the cracker. You know what I'm saying? No, that's exactly what he was saying. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you step out and you start building anything for God, an ark or anything for God, I'm telling you, don't you ever think that there's someone there that wants to stop you. I remember, like I told the first service, I told them, you know, when we started Calvary there, we started in the living room, then moved to the church, you know. And when we were first there, some of you that are here still remember that. You know, it was like 3 or 4 cars, you know, at the church parking lot. And we didn't have any heat and we didn't have any money. We didn't have, I borrowed 13 chairs and we didn't, I used whatever that thing is, music stand for my pulpit. And you know what I'm saying. And, and the church down the street was a big old church, you know. And so when they filled up their parking lot, well, then the cars came all the way down to our little church. And, you know, they drive by. What do you, you know, that Christian stare, you know, like, what are you doing? You know, like, you think this is going to work? No, it's not going to. And then, but you know what was so wonderful? God kept adding and adding. And then our cars started going up their street. And I kind of looked at them. You know what I mean? That's called Christian love. And so I look at that and I go, oh God, you know, listen, every person on the planet hated him. Can you imagine? Here you are, one man. And every person, there's 7 billion people on our planet. And every person knows you. And every person, when they think of you and they mention your name, they think you are a failure. A failure. That's exactly the world that Noah lived in. And that's why I say he's one of the most determined man in the history of the world besides our Savior. And he was only trying to warn them of the judgment that was coming. You understand? See, determination, real true Bible determination, endurance, if you will, real divine determination says, I'll not be stopped. I can't be stopped because greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. God, your word said it, that settles it, and I'm going to move forward because I have the promise of God. And so you think about that. You know what is so tragic about this here, about Noah warning everyone for 120 years, is that man hasn't changed today. I mean, how long has the church been preaching that Jesus is going to return for 2,000 years now? And you know, their hearts are no different. We're living in days just like the days of Noah, but we should be as determined as Noah to talk to and warn those that are lost. So you say, well, Bill, what is our future going to be? What's coming? Well, if you want to know our future, here's what Jesus told us to do. Take a look at the past. Let me read it to you, what Jesus said. He warned us. You go back and look at the past. Matthew 24:37. Let me read to you. Jesus says, but as the days of Noah were, that was past tense, in the past, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, before it occurred, listen to what the world was doing. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were given in marriage for how long? Until the day, the very day that Noah entered the ark. Do you know that judgment of this world is going to come as it, like the days of Noah, in a time of prosperity? Marrying, people giving in marriage, you know, they were out there, you know, say, okay, let's, Noah's building an ark. We want to have our pictures taken because we're getting married today and we're going to go right here at the ark. And that way we just keep it and show it to our kids on this crazy person. You know what I mean? Or have a tailgate party out there. I don't know what they did, but they were pulled up their lawn chairs. I don't know. Making fun of this guy. And so I look and I say, oh Lord, what were the days of Noah like? Jesus is going to be just like that. It's going to be a time of determined, continual wickedness. Don't tell me that we're not in that vein right now. It's going to be a time in the days of Noah like it is right now. It's going to be a time of complete global moral perversion, just like it is right now. And it's going to be a time when everything is routine. Marrying, giving in marriage, going to work, doing whatever you do. And then all of a sudden, the Lord is going to return. You know, loved one, listen. Jesus said, he said, you know, until the day that Noah entered the ark, listen carefully now, the people in Noah's time, they did not know, it says, meaning that they were untouched by God's truth, by the preaching of Noah. They did not know until the flood came. It happened suddenly, remember. Until the flood came, and it took them all away, took them, everyone on earth away, everyone, every person except eight people. Why did that eight people make it? Because Noah was determined to believe God. It took them all away into a godless eternity. And that's where they are right now at this minute. And Jesus said, and so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Noah's generation was warned. They didn't care. They were indifferent. We're warning our generation. Not much is happening. But let me tell you something. What's so tragic about the deception is all of the people then at that time, they watched one determined man day after day, month after month, year after year, build the only escape from the judgment of God on earth. The only escape. And they all missed it. Do you know that we are building an ark here? I'm sorry. The Lord is building the ark here. Amen. This is a place of safety. It's a place where God resides. This is the church of the living God. And I look at that and say, oh Lord, there it was. There, they missed it. They saw an ark. They didn't understand it, evidently. An ark sitting on dry land. Now, it says, Jesus goes in Matthew 24:44, he says, therefore you, me, all of us, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I heard someone on TV last night or the night before when they were preaching and saying that it looks like the Lord is coming in 2015. You know, or no, 2017. And I said, I don't know that. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour, but I didn't say anything about the year, but I'm not going to get into that. I do know that whenever we see these signs, it says, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. There are certain things that are happening. We don't know the day or hour, but we know one thing. God doesn't lie. It may be over with, man. We just don't know yet. You see, but we need to be as determined as Noah was to the generation that he lived in, because our generation is not ready. They're not ready at all. And you know what? Noah lived in the last generation of his people before God's wrath was poured out. And our generation may be the very last. So we need to be so loving and so faithful and so determined to share Christ with other people. I'm not taking the Bible and beating people to death with it, man. It's the goodness of God that leads man to repentance. Jesus loves people. He loves the lost. He loves those drunks. He loves the drug addict. He loves people and wants them saved and rescued and delivered. So Jesus said, you know what? You need to really learn, church, from the days of Noah. That's what he said, from this one determined man. You need to learn from that. So let me give you a few observations to think about. Number one, we, like Noah, live in a world of unbelief. In other words, unbelievers and the world and so forth. But here's what Noah did not do. I love this part. He did not allow the world that he lived in to determine his way of life, determine his morals, determine to shape his life or to shape his thinking. He wasn't, and we're to do the same thing. Listen, this world should not be conforming us. Remember Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. This world, the world system, be not conformed. That word means, or Phillips translation, don't be squeezed into the mold of the world. Don't let them mold you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, it says, by the renewing of your mind. Now, we're either being conformed or transformed. There's only two kinds of people on earth. Only two. You're either being conformed to this world or you're being transformed by the word of God. You're born again. So he says, listen, you're not going to shape my thinking. You're not going to shape my family's thinking. You're not going to do any of those things. And so I love what he did. He was determined. You see, determination says, I'll not let anything or anyone stop me from doing or fulfilling God's word in my life. The next thing was that Noah was determined not to lose his individuality to a crowd, and the crowd being at that time the entire world that stood against him. He stood alone against the entire world. He and his family, they were the only believers on the planet. I know sometimes I talk with people and they come to me and they say, you know, Bill, I'm just torn up. I say, well, what's wrong with you? I said, well, I'm the only Christian in my family. I said, okay. Well, I'm the only Christian where I work. All right. I'm the only Christian in the classroom. All right. Well, so why are you torn up? Because they don't like me. Well, do you want to start acting like them? You think they're going to like you then? No. Isn't it amazing? Today in the church, I say this with compassion and love, come on. Today in the church, we let a few people get against us and we just fall apart. You know, oh God, they don't like me, they don't love me, and just a bunch of sissy crybabies. Noah stood against the entire world. The entire world. Would you say that's determination? No one liked him. Nobody wanted him. And he said, you know what? You're not going to change who I am. Boy, I'll tell you, don't let the world change who you are. I don't care what the world thinks. You know, someone told me the other day, or actually not the other day, I was at a pastor's conference, whenever that was. You know, I don't remember everything in my life. What day is it? Don McClure, or whoever it was, I love that guy, he's great. He said, pastors, listen to me. So we're all listening to him, you know. He said, it only takes 7 people to make you quit the ministry. And I said, I've got 100 and something right here, you know. And so I said, only 7? I'm in trouble. 7 people. 7. He said, don't let them destroy you. No matter what they say. No matter what they do, no matter how many the emails, the hate mail, or the people on the radio, or the people in the congregation, no, don't let anyone stop you. Don't let anyone stop you from fulfilling God's call upon your life. Don't let anyone, you be determined. Determination says, I'll not allow anyone, anything, any circumstance, no matter what it is, even if the entire world stands against me, I'm moving forward into the will of God. Noah determined to do that, but he also determined to do something else. Think about it. You know, Noah determined to pursue a life work, one life work. Think about that. I'm going to build an ark. Noah, that's what you're going to do your whole life. You're just going to build an ark, and nobody believes in the ark. Nobody believes in the judgment. Nobody believes in any of that. And he did so. Listen to me now. He built that ark without any proof. See, we want proof. God, okay, if you're going to do this, give me a sign. Let me put a fleece out there, Lord. Maybe get another fleece. I'm going to put another one until I get something. No, he didn't have any proof. Like I told you, he'd never seen rain. He didn't know what an ark was. He's following God's plan. He knew the judgment was. He believed it. And I look at him and I say, oh Lord, listen now. Noah believed only one voice. One voice. And he heard, though, the voice of how many people were on earth at that time. I don't know. But think about that. He said, no, you can condemn me. You can say whatever you want about me. You can mock my family. You can make fun of my children. You can throw fruit at me. I don't care what you do. I only listen to one voice, and that's the voice of my God. Noah did something that no man had ever, ever done before because he was the most determined man in history. He built an ark, something no man has ever, ever done, the ark that God had given him. Determination, I'm going to say it again, says that I will not allow anyone, anything, any hurt, any setback, any difficulty stop me from believing the promise of God. You know, I look at Noah and I say, oh, Noah, you know, you determined to pursue a life work. And I think about us, you know, have we sometimes, I know that some of you have, you've lost the wonder, if you will, of God's plan for your life. And I encourage you, if you, you know, listen, go back and find it. Get into the Word of God and discover it all over again. Be determined to do that. And listen, don't listen to the voice of the world. Don't listen to the people that are lost. Listen to the voice, and don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Listen to the voice of God. God has a plan. You'll never find the plan of God if you get into the Word and step out and be a doer of the Word. Amen? That's when you fall into the plan of God. I mean, I could sit here and testify. Last night we had the Love Never Fails International, our annual board meeting, and we were just talking about all the doors that God has opened, but would they have never opened unless we had walked into the area God told us to. You see, God has the plan. He has the perfect plan for your life, for my life, and so forth, even in the midst of difficulty. But Bill, I'm going through a horrible time. I'm separated from my family or my wife or husband. Listen, you hold on to the Lord. You be determined to hold on to Him. He will get you through no matter what you're facing. But I promise you this, without God's plan, you will fail. There's not a doubt about it. Because see, God's plans for you come from His heart, and they are full of foolproof. They won't fail. God, you know, Noah determined to live. He determined to live for a life's work. Are you living? One of my characters that I like, one of the movies called, you ever watch Braveheart? And it's about the true story, if you will, a historical figure called William Wallace. William Wallace said this, he said, every man dies, but few men live. That's even true today. We all have life, but we're afraid to live. Afraid to step out. There's so many Christians, and I love you guys, but listen, so many Christians, they're afraid to step out because they're thinking, well, I don't know where God's going to take me. Well, you know, you have to at least step out, find it, get to the nursery to start someplace. You know what I mean? Get into the kids' church. At least that's a step in the right direction. Amen? Yeah, but if you're not going to step out, you'll not find God's plan. You'll just stay right there. And God says, oh no, listen, I have a perfect plan for you. You know, I don't want an empty life. And I tell you, when you follow the Lord, it's always an adventure. It's not a painless adventure. It could be a painful adventure. Giving up certain things that you say, I don't want to give that. But God says, oh, you have to, because you got to go here. You have to get away from that. It's hard sometimes. But when you're determined, you don't have to have an aimless life. You know, the Bible teaches us there in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing, that means it's a fact, knowing that you were not redeemed. You were not redeemed, set free with corruptible things like silver and gold. No. You weren't. He said, from your aimless conduct, from your empty conduct, from your useless conduct. Listen, I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from an empty life. We don't have to have an empty life. We can have a full life. And I'll tell you, if you don't know Christ, what's your purpose? What are you doing with your life? Because see, if a person without Jesus is a person without purpose, still a slave to sin, still a slave to death, still a slave to the devil and fear. The greatest tragedy in life is not death. It's not dying. The greatest tragedy in life is to have a life without purpose. Now that is a tragedy. But see, in Christ, you have been given a purpose. And you know what I love about Noah? He was determined to save his family. He built an ark. It says, look, it says for the saving of his family. You know, he determined to save others from death, not just the lost, but his family as well. Question. For 120 years, Noah's family, his kiddos and so forth, do you think they ever came up to Noah and said, Dad, can we talk for a minute? And Noah would say, sure, son, what is it? And he said, you know, Dad, you see all the people on earth? Yes, son. And you see us, particularly you, Dad. They all say you're wrong, and you're the only person on earth that says they're wrong. Do you understand, Dad? I mean, are you sure you're not in that stage of life? I mean, do you understand me? Don't you think they probably did that and said, listen, Dad, everyone they say you're wrong. There's not one person on the planet that says you're right. Noah says, I am right, and I'll prove them wrong. Because Noah was the most determined man in the history of mankind. You know what Noah did when he preached? Remember in 2 Peter 2:5, it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. What did he preach? Judgment. Now come into the ark. Come into the ark. When it's finished, you got to get into the ark, because judgment is coming. Noah, you're trying to tell me that that piece of wood, that gopher wood pile that you're building out there, you're trying to tell me that that is going to save me? You want me to leave all of this? The beautiful world that I live in never rains. I never experience a thunderstorm. Don't know what you're talking about. The beautiful canopy, I never sweat. You know what I'm saying? Noah, you want me to get inside of a piece of wood? You're crazy, Noah. Noah said, no, I'm determined. You need to come into the ark. It's the only place of safety. You know, we preach Christ and him crucified. You know, thank God he died for our sins. And I tell you that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should repent and come to the knowledge of the truth, which is Christ. But today, do they really believe that? People, no, they've heard the gospel so many times that they don't believe anymore. You know, it says in Genesis 7:1, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. That means that God was in the ark with Noah. Did you catch that? He said, come on into the ark, Noah. He says, you and all your household, because I've seen that you're righteous before me in this generation. Now listen, the most determined man in the history of mankind. This is incredible to me. You know what he had done? He had built the only place of safety in the entire world. The only place in all of the world, planet Earth, that you could be found safe. And the only place that we can be safe today is in Christ Jesus. He is our Savior. Amen. He is our ark. Romans 8:1, you know, therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment, no wrath of God to those who are in Christ Jesus. It says in Genesis 7:16, it says those that entered, they were male, female of all flesh, meaning all the animals. They went as God commanded them. And here's what happened after the animals went into the ark and Noah and all of them. It says, and the Lord shut Noah in. The door was shut. God's grace is now removed from that planet. Noah would never ever see that old world again. When the ark settled on Mount Ararat now and all, you know, the story, then that would be the new world. So the day finally arrived in the days of Noah. There they were, you know, just a normal day. Like I said, marrying, giving marriage, going about business as usual. It was just a simple party. And it says in Genesis 7:11, it says, and then all the fountains of the deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened and it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And I can tell you that the wives that were outside that ark and the children that were outside that ark, when they saw all of this being the upheaval in the entire earth that was occurring, don't you think that it was probably at least one woman, if I know women, that looked at her husband and said, I thought you said this man was crazy. You know that happened. And now all of a sudden, the ark, the grace of God there that was going to protect from judgment, it was shut. You couldn't go in. And one day that's going to happen to our planet. And there's no way after the door is shut. There's no way to enter it. It's too late. Noah was one man against the entire world. Look at it now. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, but we've been warned, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. Look at that again. Which he what? Condemned the world. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Faith that is determined to believe God. Listen to me now. I don't have the eloquence, I don't have the depth of character, or maybe not character, but intelligence to teach this. I don't know how to explain it. One determined man, just one man, put everyone to shame on the entire planet. He condemned the world, not the trees and the rivers. He condemned the people of the world. How? He believed God. In other words, he proved them wrong. Are you following me? Think about that. One determined man. That's why I call him the most determined man in the history of mankind. He proved everyone on earth wrong. He was the only right person on the earth. And I look at that and I say, oh God, when it was all over, there finally, when the heavens were shut up and the fountains of the deep were shut up and all of that, and all those days that he remained floating there in the ark, and then finally, you know how he sends out a raven, and the raven, you know, doesn't come back, you know, and so forth after about a week, and the reason doesn't come back, you know, he's a raven, he eats dead things. And then he sends out, remember the dove? And then the dove comes back with what? A little bit olive branch there, you know, in this beak. And then the ark came to rest, it said, on Mount Ararat in a brand new world. Now listen, he proved the whole world wrong. If we could be in outer space and look down at the world at that time, you know what you would see? You would see just water. And there on a mountain called Ararat, you would see an ark that a man built with directions from God that saved his family. Noah condemned every person on his planet, on our planet. Listen to me now. We have living in our hearts the divine determination of our Savior, who loves us, who died for us, who intercedes for us, whoever lives for us, and who is soon coming for us. If God said it in his word, and you believe it, you can prove 7 billion people on this planet who believe otherwise. If you believe, if you're determined to believe the word of God, if you're determined to say, you know, I mean, I've had other Christians come up to me and say, you know, Bill, you're believing for a miracle. Believe me, it's not going to happen. I say, why would you say that? Are you God? Do you know what's going to, you don't know anything. You know, I believe God. I believe his word. I don't know. I don't have a timetable. I don't know what his calendar is, but I believe him. And I'll not listen to you. I'll not listen to the voice of unbelief. I'll not listen to that. I'm holding on to the promises of God, because faithful is he who promised. He's always faithful. God is always faithful. He's never been unfaithful like we have. And I look and I say, oh God, no wonder it says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. The world, the world system that is antichrist, the unbelieving world. It says, and this is the victory that has, that's past tense, overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. Our determined faith. believing and standing in God and saying, Lord, I don't understand it and I don't have to understand everything. I just know that you said it and that's going to settle it in my life. Whatever's in this world, the fear of this world, the doubt of this world, the sin of this world, the death in this world, the devil, demons, I don't care. We possess determined faith because every man has been given a measure of faith. Romans 12:3. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:70. He lives in us. And I look at that and I say, I know what I'm facing. But when I walk in determined faith, may I tell you that when I do that in his strength, his power, his grace, I'm ruling. I'm living. I'm reigning in this life by one Christ Jesus. And when I walk in anything else, I'm not reigning. I'm not ruling. And I say, oh God, you're so good. And who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Why does determined faith conquer? Because we have an object, or the object of our faith. It's the determined one who lives in us. Look at chapter 12, of verse 1 there of Hebrews. Therefore, we are surrounded. Don't you like that? We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Talking about chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is the heroes of the faith, if you will. Let us do something. Let us lay aside every weight, whatever's slowing you down. He says, lay it aside. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And watch this. Let us run with what? Do you know what that word means? It means the ongoing determination to keep going. Why? We have his divine determination living in our hearts. So let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And no one is exempt from that race if you're a believer. And the race doesn't end until we cross the finish line. And the finish line is heaven. Amen. Or the rapture, whatever's going to, that's the finish line, loved one. No, we're surrounded by a great cloud. Read chapter 11 of Hebrews. A great cloud of determined witnesses. They died. Many of them, they were so determined for God. And they all died, it says, in the faith because they were determined. They whisper to me and they whisper to your heart. You know what they say? Church of the 21st century, don't you ever, 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 ever give up. No matter the consequences, no matter the cost, no matter the circumstances, they say endurance. Be determined. And we can run our race just like they did because God has not changed. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But here's the thief. It says the sin. Did you catch that? Look at it again. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now that's just not any sin. That is a particular sin. Okay. And that sin, that particular sin is what messed everything up then and now. You see, this sin, this particular sin is so destructive that only 8 people entered the ark during Noah's day. This sin is so deceptive, as we've studied out in the Old Testament, the children of Israel preferred slavery in Egypt than the promised land. This sin is so demonic and devilish then and now that it still keeps multitudes out of heaven. This sin is horrible. It's the sin of unbelief, not believing God. And you cannot be determined. If you don't believe God, you will not be determined. No, listen, let's go back and look at chapter 11 again, verse 6. But without faith, and we have been given a measure of faith, remember. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. You've heard me say difficult. No, not difficult. Impossible. Impossible to what? To please God. Why? For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently. Say that with me. Diligently. That means you have to be determined to diligently seek him. You have to say, I'm going after him. I know your word is true. I don't understand what's happening in my surroundings, my family, whatever. But Lord, I trust you and I'm determined to diligently seek you. And the only way to make it now through 2015 and through the end of our days is that we must be determined. Let me stop right there. It's so easy to look when we're hurting, isn't it? When you can't sleep at night, where you're so torn up, you toss and turn and there's acid going crazy in your stomach and you're just going, oh God, where are you? Oh God, why am I seeing the things that I see? Oh God. And you start hurting and falling apart. It's so easy to look at those things. Life is not fair. But, you know, if we're going to be a determined people, no matter the cost, no matter what it is, we can only look at one person. That's why it says in chapter 12 there, look at verse 2. What does it say? It says, looking unto Pastor Bill. You're in a lot of trouble if you do that. I am not your example. He's your example. Looking unto prophets. No, 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 no. Looking unto self. Oh, you're really going to be in trouble. It says, looking unto your supreme example, the supreme example of love, the supreme example of faith, the supreme example of divine determination. Looking unto whom? Jesus. The one who loves you, the one who died for you, looking unto him, the author, the finisher of our faith, our determined faith. Why? Oh, who for the joy, and you're that joy. He says that was set before him. He died. He endured the cross for you, for me. And it says he despised that shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's still there and he's still living for us and living through us and making intercession for us. We can be determined to live for him. If he was determined to die for us, surely the church of the 21st century can be determined to live for him. Determination says this, I've made a firm decision not to allow anyone, anything, no matter what it is, to stop me because I have the promise of God living in me. 2015, his divine determination, living in our hearts, ruling in our hearts, no matter the pain, whatever it is, I will not fall apart. I will not be defeated. Ever. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for becoming a little emotional there, Father. It was a Sudafed. Oh, God, you know all of our situations. You know all that we're going through. You know our victories. You know our lying downs. You know our getting up. You know it all. Oh, God, I know that we can become weary and well-doing, but we don't want to. God, there has to be those miracles. We don't put them, we don't know your timetable, we don't know your calendar, but we know they're there. We look only to you, Jesus, no one else. We know that no matter what we're facing, you're there with us, you're never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. And you're going to help us every minute, every second of our life. I beg you, oh God, to touch your people with your determination. That they stand strong and steadfast and immovable in this generation that we live in. That we will not, Lord, will not fall down. Will not stop running the race. But we'll look unto you, Lord. We love you. We praise you for this day. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around, If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you don't know Him as your Savior, if you've never asked Him to come and live in your heart, Jesus, the Lord, loves you. He died for you, and I know the Holy Spirit is pleading and urging with you right now to come into the ark, come into Christ, and be saved. So if that's you, every head bowed, no one looking around. You say, Bill, I want to be a Christian. I want Christ to come and live in my heart. I want that right now. Then lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, pray for me. God bless you. That's right. Who else? Say, Bill, that's right. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Who else? Say, I want to be a Christian this morning. I want Christ to come into my heart. Last call. I'll not ask again. Well, then, Father, you saw the hands. And those who lifted their hands, you pray. Pray with me right now. You pray this prayer and God's going to save you. Pray this prayer with me now. Those that lifted their hands, church, help me. Say, Father, today, I'm coming home. I'm coming home to you. Oh, I want to be saved. I believe you. So right now, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. He's alive. And now he's going to live in me. Because you promised in your word that if I would confess him as my Lord and believe in my heart, you would save me. Oh, then save me now. Jesus be my Lord. And in his name, I am saved. Father, we thank you this morning. We love you. We praise you. We honor you for all that you've done today. We today make a firm decision from this day forward to walk in your divine determination because you live in us. You give us what we need to make it through this dark world. We thank you, Lord, for those that just came to Christ. Fill them now, O God. Baptize them afresh in the Spirit. And we thank you for the work you're going to do in the new kids' church as well. And we praise you and honor you this morning. In Jesus' name, and the church says, Amen.